You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, a radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I am Pastor Ron Barnes, minister of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the Hart Highlands area of Prince George. We are at 4020 Balsam Road. I cordially invite you to visit our services. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning service at 11 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. Our first hymn is entitled, Nearer My God to Thee. The title of the message is Thirsting for Christ, taken from John chapter 7, verses 37 and 44. We need water to live. Without water, we would soon die. Thirsting for water is perhaps the greatest desire of the human body. Jesus Christ declares that He is the water that sinners need for eternal life. Therefore, our desire for Christ must be like thirsting for water. We must have Him, or we die. I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart through His Word. But before the message, another hymn entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our dreams and dreams to bear.
It was at the Feast of Tabernacles when Christ stood up and cried the great invitation, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." What was the Feast of Tabernacles? The Bible historians tell us that the most joyous of all festive seasons in Israel was that of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was the third of the great annual festivals. The other two were Passover and Pentecost, at which every male in Israel was to appear before the Lord in the place which he should choose. Three things specifically marked the Feast of Tabernacles: its joyous festivities, the dwelling in booths, and the peculiar sacrifices and rites of the week. Now, the feast fell in a time of year when the hearts of the people would naturally be full of thankfulness, and gladness, and expectancy. All the crops had been long stored, and now all fruits were also gathered. The vintage passed, and the land only awaited the softening and refreshment of the latter rain to prepare it for a new crop. Now, how did Jesus Christ fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, Dr. Lee Warren writes in an article entitled "The Spiritual Significance of the Feast of Tabernacles." He says that the Messiah's mission was to fulfill or bring to an end this old covenant of feasts, ceremonies, sacrificial worship of Jehovah, and to establish a new covenant where we worship Jehovah in spirit and in truth. The Messiah brought the Feast of Tabernacles to a physical end when he appeared in the temple during the midst of the feast and began to teach. Christ had sent his disciples to the feast earlier and secretly came later by himself, since the rulers of Israel sought to kill him. Prior to his speaking at this feast, the people had a great deal of doubt about the Messiah. Who was he? They wondered whether Christ was a good man. Some wondered if he was a devil, because he healed on the Sabbath when work was forbidden. After hearing Christ preach, the Jews marveled at his words of grace and wisdom. And on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, during the final ceremonies, Christ spoke these astounding words that caused many to believe that he was the Messiah. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." What Christ was referring to was the water the priest dipped with a golden pitcher from the pool Siloam and poured it out at the base of the altar for the last day of the feast. Thus, Christ told Israel that living water would be poured out at Pentecost. His words of truth represented the living water, which is the Holy Spirit that many who believed on him would receive on the day of Pentecost. Now, on the great and solemn Feast of Tabernacles, Christ stood up, whereas at other times he used to sit, and spoke with a loud voice, both to show his fervor and earnestness, and that all might hear, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." I would like to preach on the theme, thirsting for Christ. Let us consider first that thirsting for Christ is a spiritual thirst. In Psalm 63, verse 1, we read of David thirsting for the Lord. "Our God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." John Gill writes in his commentary regarding John 7, verse 37, It is to be understood not of a natural thirst, though the allusion is to it, as the instances of the Israelites in the wilderness, Samson after he had slain the Philistines, and our Lord upon the cross show, much less a sinful thirst, a thirst after the riches, honors, and pleasures of this life, but a spiritual thirst, a thirst after spiritual things, after salvation by Christ, and in a view of interest in it, free and full pardon of sin through him, justification by his righteousness, a greater degree of knowledge of him, more communion with him, and conformity to him, and after the sincere milk of the word, and such that thirst after these things, and eagerly desire them, and are in pain and uneasiness without them, as a man is, who has a violent thirst upon him, as such as are regenerated and quickened by the Spirit of God. Christ says to come to me, who is the fountain of gardens, the well of living waters, and who is as rivers of water in a dry land of thirsty souls. See, when we come to Christ, which is by believing in him, we are encouraged to drink, that is, to take of the water of life freely. There is a fullness of grace in Christ, And there is an abundance of it communicated to us as people. It is exceeding abundant. It flows and overflows. It may be drank of it to satisfaction. So our souls are as a watered garden, and we are satisfied with the goodness of the Lord. There's a plenty, an abundance of grace that Jesus Christ gives to those who come to Him. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes, "What is our greatest need? Our greatest need is life. Most people today are but existing. When their pleasures are shut off, when because of war the cinemas and theaters and public houses and dance halls have to be closed, they have nothing. They have not got life. They are but existing and dependent upon things outside themselves." See, they need life. But where can life be found? It is Christ again who has said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Life means spiritual life. Life means a relationship to God and an enjoyment of His fellowship. And Christ, our Lord, has it in all its fullness. He says, "He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The water that I shall give you," He says to the woman of Samaria, "shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Do you thirst for Christ today? Or do you thirst for the world and sin? Secondly, thirsting for Christ is initiated by the Holy Spirit. The reason a person thirsts for Christ is because the Holy Spirit is at work within him. Such work by the Holy Spirit is how He causes a Christian to be spiritually minded. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." An aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to cause us to have Godward thirsts and longings, such as to cry, "Abba, Father." What gives you spiritual life? What gives you that energy to seek after the Lord? The Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon comments on the blessing of thirsting. "When a man pants after God, it is a secret life within which makes him do it. He would not long after God by nature. No man thirsts for God while he is left in his carnal state. The unrenewed man pants after anything sooner than God. It proves a renewed nature when you long after God. It is a work of grace in your soul, and you may be thankful for it." It's the Holy Spirit initiates spiritual thirst in order to satisfy it. God does not fire a thirst for Himself in order to mock us or frustrate us. The Lord Himself declared, "I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain." God creates a thirst for Himself so that He can satisfy it with Himself. Psalm 107, verse 9, "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Christ assured in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And again, the question is, do you thirst after Christ? Is the Holy Spirit giving you this hunger and thirsting after the Lord? Thirdly, thirsting for Christ increases in the heart of believers. If you possess a true thirst for God, you will long to long even more. See, as Jonathan Edwards insisted, true and gracious longings after holiness are no idle, ineffectual desires. They grow. They become more intense. They become stronger in the life of a believer. See, the satisfied soul thirsts for God precisely because he's satisfied with God. He has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And the taste is so uniquely satisfying that he craves more. Thomas Shepard, founder of Harvard University, he was a godly man, and he was a preacher of Christ, and he explained the cycle of satisfaction and thirst this way. He says this, "There is in true grace an infinite circle. A man by thirsting receives, and receiving thirsts for more." Knowing Christ is so spiritually thirst-quenching because no person, possession, or experience can produce the spiritual satisfaction we find in Him. Communion with Christ is incomparably satisfying also because there is no disappointment in what you find in Him. There's no lack of satisfaction in knowing Christ, but neither has God designed us so that one experience with Christ satiates all future desire for Him. See, once we've met with Christ, God doesn't say, "Well, that's enough." No, God puts in us more of a desire for Christ, more of a thirst for Christ, more of a hunger for the things of God. Here's how Jonathan Edwards described the relationship between the spiritual good enjoyed in fellowship with Christ and the thirst for more that it produces. Listen, spiritual good is of a satisfying nature, and for that very reason, the soul that tastes and knows its nature will thirst after it and a fullness of it that it may be satisfied. And the more he experiences and the more he knows this excellent, unparalleled, exquisite and satisfying sweetness, the more earnestly he will hunger and thirst for more. Has your worship of Christ provided you with ravishing tastes of what A.W. Tozer called the piercing sweetness of Christ, only to leave you with a divine discontent for more? Would the following prayer of Tozer reflect your own aspirations? O God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need for further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. O God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made thirsty still. This man on fire for the Lord. Do you have that desire in your bosom? Do you have that flame burning within you that I want more of Christ? I desire to meet with Him. I desire to hear from Him. I desire to walk with Him. Such desires, Christian brother or sister, are marks of a thirsty soul. Are you thirsting for Christ? Are you desiring Him and Him alone? Thirsting for Christ increases in the heart of believers. There's no stagnation in a true spiritual person. We go through times of coldness and times of darkness in our walk with the Lord, but there is that work of the Spirit in our hearts that produces thirst. Thirst for Christ. Not thirst for yourself. Not thirst for the world. Not thirst for the things of the world, but for Christ. Fourthly and finally, sinners will only be satisfied when they thirst for Christ. The unconverted man or woman has an empty soul. There's a void in their heart. And they're crying out to fill that void. They're crying out because of the emptiness. It's so great and so painful in their life. Devoid of God, they're constantly in pursuit of that which will fill this emptiness, this vacuum. The range of his mad or their mad scramble may include money, immorality, power, houses, land, sports, hobbies, entertainment, fame, significance, education, whatever it may be. They're trying to fill that void with these things. In the process, they're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Always searching and never resting. The empty soul turns from one pursuit to another, unable to find anything that will fill the God-shaped vacuum in his heart. Maybe you're here today and you have that emptiness, that vacuum in your heart. You're trying to fill that vacuum with those things. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be happy. There's a thirsting and searching. The empty soul is blinded to his real need. Nothing or no one on earth fully and lastingly satisfies, but he doesn't know where to turn except to someone or something else under the sun. So he tries this and he tries that, and he continues to do this the rest of his life, never finding satisfaction and happiness, just misery and discontent. Like Solomon, he discovers that no matter who or what he at first finds exciting, ultimately all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Maybe you're here today and you're like that. Your heart is empty. You fill your heart with things and they only last for a while and you're excited for a while, but then that goes away and you try something else. And that doesn't make you happy. You try something else. And that's your life, young person. That's your life right now. Your heart is empty without Christ. Your life is meaningless without Christ. And you will try to keep shoving things into that emptiness in your heart, shoving this and shoving that, until finally there comes a point where there's nothing else you can do. There's nothing that can satisfy. There are people that are on their deathbed. They've tried everything under the sun, and they're the most miserable, wretched people on the face of the earth. And yet they will not turn to Christ. They will not thirst for Christ. They will not come to that living fountain that is open for sin and uncleanness. They will not believe in Christ. For He says that I will satisfy that thirst, that longing, that desire in the heart of sinners. Come to Me and fill that void. Fill that emptiness in your soul. One Bible commentator writes, a Christian observes the man with the empty soul and knows that what he is looking for can be found only in the one who said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Occasionally, an empty soul searches in more serious-minded or spiritual ways that lead some Christians to think that he's thirsting for God. We may even know some friends and family members that are searching for something or searching for God, and we think that that's good. But the world has no such thirst. There is no one who understands. There's no one who seeks for God until and unless the Holy Spirit of God touches the spiritual tongue of the empty soul. He will never want to taste and see that the Lord is good. Just because a man longs for something that can be found in God alone doesn't mean he's looking for God. A man may pine for peace and have no interest in the Prince of Peace. They're looking for peace. They're looking for happiness. But they're not looking for that in the source, which is true happiness and true peace is found, Jesus Christ. Many who claim they are questing for God are not thirsting for God as he has revealed himself in Scripture, but only for God as they want him to be. Or a God who will give them what they want. A God of their own imagination. A God who they create in their own life and in their mind. That's the peace they want. That's the happiness they want. But they don't want any parts of the happiness that's revealed in the Scripture. They don't want to come to Jesus Christ. Because they want a God of their own mind, of their own life. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. And come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Be satisfied. Be happy. Be at peace with God. Come to me, Jesus Christ says. Sinners will only be satisfied when they thirst for Christ. And that's the message that we must preach. It's only Christ who can satisfy your thirst, your emptiness, your meaninglessness in life. Those who have been truly saved, those who have been truly changed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We know this. And we want more of Christ. We live for Christ. We want Christ to be glorified. We want Christ to increase. We want Christ to be preeminent in our lives. And we want that to be in every realm. In the family. In church. At work. With family and friends. Christ must be the one who people see in us, not us. Christ stood up during the Feast of Tabernacles and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Thirsting after Christ is a spiritual thirst. It is initiated by the Holy Spirit. It increases in the heart of believers, and it is the only thing that can satisfy the heart of man. Are you thirsting for Christ to save you from sin? May we all be able to experience the words of Isaiah 12, verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. I am Ron Barnes, pastor of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the Hart Highlands area of Prince George. I warmly invite you to visit the church. We have Sunday school for children, young people, and adults beginning at 10 a.m. Our morning service begins at 11 a.m. and our evening service at 6:30 p.m. The church address is 4020 Balsam Road, Prince George, British Columbia, V2K1Z9. Our phone number is 250-962-8232. You can listen to other messages preached by Pastor Barnes on www.sermonaudio.com. Thank you for tuning in to Let the Bible Speak. May the Lord richly bless you.